Invite you this time to turn your Bibles to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, as you're turning there, when I arranged to with Scott and Lindsay regarding Evelyn's baptism, little did I know that I would pick such a long psalm to study. But I think it's a good psalm to study in light of Evelyn's baptism. And so we're going to look at Psalm 89. It's a lengthy psalm. I'm going to read the entire psalm, and then we will make some points regarding it, some brief points. And so I ask that you follow along with me as I read aloud from Psalm 89. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's on page 495. Psalm 89, a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Selah. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High your right hand. Righteous and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exalt you in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil. I have anointed him so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever. His throne as long as the sun before me, like the moon, it shall be established forever. A faithful witness in the skies. Selah. But now you have cast off and rejected, and you are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You've cut short the days of his youth. You've covered him with shame. Selah. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Selah. Lord, where's your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Let's pause. Let's ask God for his blessings upon us. Lord, at this lengthy psalm, we pray, Lord, that we would be able to focus. Lord, that we would not be overwhelmed by its length or by its wording, but instead, Lord, that as we study it together, that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts. Lord, speak to our very souls through this psalm. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, as I said, brothers and sisters, this is a psalm that is good for Evelyn to hear. She may not remember it, but it's good for Evelyn to hear these words. It's good for us to hear these words, for you and for me, as we hear about God's faithfulness. Because as you can see from the setting of this psalm, as you read the psalm, it sounds like God isn't very faithful. It sounds like God isn't keeping his promises. It sounds like God's not keeping his end of the bargain. And yet, in the Psalm 89, by the way, the only psalm ascribed to Ethan the Ezrahite, by the way, and he is speaking about God's faithfulness and simply saying to us, don't forget it. Don't forget God's faithfulness. Don't forget it as we witness a baptism of God's faithfulness to his covenant. Don't forget God's faithfulness as we celebrate every first Sunday of the month, as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, to be reminded of God's faithfulness to his people. Don't forget God's faithfulness as we come here each and every week with the freedom to come here and to worship him. We don't have to be like those like the McCabes in China, where we can't use the words pray and we can't advertise and we can't say Christian and in Christ and pass out Bibles, and yet God remains faithful to them. This is a psalm that's all about faithfulness. And as we've studied the Psalms, we have learned very quickly the Psalms are very much the anatomy of the soul, as one church father said. The Psalms very much deal with the highs and lows of life, and we've looked at that throughout the summer. And you can read the Psalms, and we have some Psalms that are way up there where it's nothing but praise, it's nothing but worship, it's glorifying God, everything's great, everything is good. We've also found the Psalms that are low in the valleys. And we're questioning God's faithfulness, and we're questioning what God is doing. And each of us is going through that at some point in life. So I'm going through that right now. Dealing with low points. What's going on? Why is this happening? Lord, faithful people? Psalm 8 plus, yes, he is. Matter of fact, the Ethan Ezrahite is even the Ezrahite is considered the wisest person in the world at the time. And yet, it is there that Solomon is more wiser than even than the Ezrahite. This is not a person. This is not a person who is out of the Lord, not someone who is not connected with the Lord. Even the Ezrahite has experience as well. Wisdom experiences. And he wants us to remember God is faithful. We pay attention to credit. Notice God's faithfulness. God manifests in faith. Time. This morning, what we're going to do is, yes, we're going to look at the psalm. And we're going to try to be brief. But we want to look and give and leave four verses regarding God's faithfulness. I want everyone walk out of here to know God's faith, and we know these promises. Are you ready? Here is the first point of this. Writing down notes and some of our first point is this: God's faith in his God's faithful character. We want to know who God is. We want to have a she grow. Know how faithful God is to look at character. We see that in verse 1. Verses 1 to 8. Just look at the beginning verse. Let's. I was thinking of the steadfast love with my mouth. I will make your faithfulness to generate steadfast love, faithfulness, steadfast faithfulness. There they are. The song each you want to pray for is what is about God's character? What do we want to know about God's character? What is it that is so what God is his mercies and his love? God will notice the thing of the steadfast love of the Lord. Feel right. Now, the thing of the steadfast love is going before me. That says, I will think of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Forever. So we have to run. Think off. We can because faith has revealed I want to just point out this is the best find faithfulness. Listen, fine. Look, it's pretty wonderful. There's no person to be greatly feared. He's one that all signs throw out all the time. All the people, how you do it. She goes, feel awesome. But you know, awesome something far greater than really the office of God, and it leads to lead him and love him and honor him. He talks about God's character, we're talking about God's might. As much as you verse 8. And fine, we see God's might demonstrated. Remember, that's what we have. Name Rahab. Mean it meant ship. Here it is again. It is reminding God's people faithful back to this. Fitting this as we be enacted in the coming weeks again. This story of the Red Sea, but it's alluded to here, verses 9 and 10. What happens? Earth is yours. Everything is yours. Our righteousness and characteristics of God. Justice are the foundation of the throne for death and love and faithfulness. Oh, you, there is in highly respected God's character. What is this? Verse 15. This is the of the who know the fast child. In other words, if we know the characteristics of God, know the attributes of God, going to respond. We're going to want to come here. We're going to want to pray. We're going to want our children in here now. We're going to want our kids happy. We want people heard and be in professional faith. And we come, Lord, help us participate. We love God and we love God. We worship Him. Sometimes we feel like these characteristics on. So feel like God around. God knows this. But we knew to the characteristics of God. Say, God cannot change. God even sent his word. I do change. So for struggling with the change with change. And how characteristics. God, we cannot forget that. God is faithful and his character. Let's look at the second point. I'm going to move right along here. Our second point is God is faithful. Second to his covenant. To his covenant. I'm going to use four words by if you mention what's that? God is faithful to his now God is faithful to his covenant. And we're going to begin with 19. All the verses said. Guys, probably he can get 37 short of busy. Here we go. 19 through 37. His faithfulness. Now we read, you'll notice to say, verse 20, I serve. holy oil I anointed. Now this psalm deals with the divine. God's, when I'm covenant, what I mean is that God promises. Let's try to really simplify it. God uses promises. God, I'm going to give word. God, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, going by faith, Christ Jesus alone. And we get to say, hi. I'm kidding. That's not how God works. God is faithful to his promises. God promises. God keeps covenant. Now, some of you might be going, I have no, this is all. We'll try to do this very David is promised and it's thrown to be established. Human on that would mean that David's son and continue reign on and on. But if we are old history, we very quickly that between some okay some really fuzzy kids, they weren't. You thought politics was bad. It is. But anyway, so we find God is faithful to his covenants. His promises. He's promised David that his throne would last forever. And so here Ethan is saying, Lord, did you forget? Did you forget what was going on? Did you just simply pull the rug from underneath him? Did you simply make a promise and you decide not to keep it? No. Ethan wants to remind us that God is faithful to his covenant. If you want to know more about this, you can look at 2 Samuel 7 and you'll see that chapter that speaks about what this psalm is alluding to. We find here in this passage that God has elected David in verses 19 and 20. That he would be God's servant, be Israel's king. He's not only sovereignly elected David, but he's sovereignly equipped David. Verses 21 and 22, he says, my hand has established him and my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not outwit him. The wicked will not humble him. Then it goes on. It says that the Lord sovereignly not only elects him and equips him, but he also exalts him. He exalts him. And did you see that in verse 28? Excuse me, 24. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him. There they are again. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. His throne, in other words. He should call me God, my rock, the rock of my salvation. Not only does God elect, equip, and exalt him, but he also establishes him. He makes him the firstborn. He says, my steadfast love, verse 20, I will keep for him forever. My covenant will stand firm for him. So when the promises that we see in the sacraments, the promises we see in his word, we must remember God is faithful to them. God's going to keep them. And I know sometimes when we're facing difficult times, I know that the last thing we want to hear is somebody spout off some words of scripture. I get it. Because, you know, in our hearts, in our hearts, we're not ready for that. But if we think about it with our heads, we're very much ready for it. That's what we need. So we need to remember that God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his covenant. He keeps his commitments. He calls us to keep ours. And so we've committed a lot of things. Scott and Lindsay committed some things today. You committed some things today. Those are not simply lip service. Those are just simply, hey, let's just answer these questions and let's move on with life. No, we've made commitments too. If we've professed our faith, if we've committed ourselves to Christ, if we look to Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we've repented of our sins, we've made commitments to live for him. That's, by the way, why we read God's will for our lives. Because it reminds us of God calling us to be faithful just as he's been faithful to us. That leads to a third point. And that is this, is that God is faithful, thirdly, in our chastening. And our chastening, verses 38 through 45. Now we read this, this psalm, it started up so high with "I will sing of the steadfast love forever," is now slowly going downhill. It's fitting since Ethan was likely around when David, and likely obviously was around during Solomon, and realized Solomon's wisdom, he wasn't as wise as what he thought he was, and watched as the idolatry creeped in. This very well may be that Ethan recognized or was around when the church, when the nation of Israel was split into two. And maybe that's why he's saying, "You've cast us off, you've rejected us. How can David's throne rule two nations now, Lord?" But God is still faithful in our chastening. Notice he says, just a couple verses here, "But now you've cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You've renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust." Now, when you say renounce the covenant, don't just think that he's just throwing out the window. Don't just simply think he's throwing out the window, because you're going to see here in just a few moments, God's steadfast love and faithfulness continues. God is faithful in our chastening. Now, I could ask a question of each of us as adults and say, how many of you loved being disciplined by your parents? Some of us were spanked. Some of us probably may have been punished differently. Hopefully nothing that is abusive. But none of us go, I loved it my parents spanked me. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Well, guess what? When we get chastened by God, when we're disciplined by God, it's not like we actually love it too. It's not like we go, "You know, Lord, this is really great. I really appreciate this." No, we tend to want to throw our hands up and we want to, say, "Lord, where are you? Are you faithful?" Now, as parents, many of us now, we understand that famous line that your parents said it. I know mine did. That famous line when they would discipline you. What's the famous line? "I do this because I love you." And you're like, "Yeah, okay. This is a strange way of loving." But you know what? I bet you now all of us as parents, we probably go, we understand that a little more, don't we? We understand what that means. What it means when our parents say, "I do this because I love you." Because now we say it to our kids. And our kids will probably say it to theirs. That line fits with this idea for God as well. God is faithful in his chastening. It's not that God doesn't love us. He does this because he loves us. Now, there are people who say, "Well, why do bad things happen to good people then? Why is it that an all-powerful, all-righteous God, why does he allow these things to happen?" And maybe some of you have really struggled with that question. And Ethan, it sounds like Ethan's struggling with this question. Why is this happening, God? Well, you know, if we looked at all of Scripture, we would find that, well, sometimes we suffer because just we live in a fallen world. Sometimes we suffer because it is a punishment for sin, but not always. Sometimes God allows Satan to inflict us, as we read in Job. Sometimes we suffer because it displays God's justice. Sometimes we suffer because it drives us to repentance. Sometimes we suffer in order to sanctify us or to advance God's kingdom, which is what we read in 1 Peter chapter 4. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I am appreciative of bad things happening to good people, because you see, bad things happen to a perfect person. Bad things happen to Jesus Christ. And without him, we would have no salvation. Without him, we would have no redemption. Without him, we would not know God's love, and without knowing God's faithfulness. Because bad things happen to a good person because God saved us. And so we must trust that his ways are not always our ways. We may not like the plans, the methods, but yet, even in this, God is faithful. Because, you see, God does this because he loves us, because he is faithful. He wants us to know there is repercussions to breaking God's covenant. Evelyn's going to have to learn that. And so do we. God is faithful to his word. And if we're not faithful to ours, there's punishment. There's problems. And without Christ, we would be left on our own, and we would be lost, and we would be broken, and we would be damned. And yet, as we read in the Proverbs, we read in Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. God is faithful even in our chastening. One more point, and that is this. Our final point, verses 46 through 52, God is faithful in our cries. And you see, brother or sister, if you are here and you are struggling in the valley, you are really trying to figure out what is going on in your world, why are things seem to fall apart, why are bad things happening, and you are crying out to the Lord, to know that God is faithful to hear your cries. And Ethan learns that in verses 46 through 52. Because after all, he ends this part with, blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. That doesn't sound like somebody who's dealing with trouble. We would expect, like we learned in Psalm 88, which we studied last week. And I have to admit, I wonder how many of you went home and were singing Simon and Garfunkel on the way home. But anyway, hello darkness, my old friend. That's what we would expect with this. But no, it ends with, blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Why can Ethan say that? Because Ethan knows we're faithful, that God is faithful to hear our cries. That God is faithful. Even when we're questioning, God remains faithful. God remains loving. Look at 49. Lord, where's your steadfast love of old? Which by your faithfulness you swore to David, steadfast love and faithfulness. If there's one thing you're going to leave today, it's knowing that in Psalm 89, the number of times steadfast love and faithfulness are together. And there's a very good reason for that. You see, when steadfast love and faithfulness is together, when God keeps his promises and when God loves us, and we see the embodiment of that in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You want to know God's love? Know Jesus Christ. You want to know God's faithfulness? Know Jesus Christ. And Ethan here is looking forward to that Davidic covenant, that the throne of David will be established forever. He's not talking about an earthly kingdom. He's talking about a heavenly kingdom. Because as we read in Matthew, from the line of David comes Christ Jesus. God remains faithful to his promises. In this passage, Ethan looks around and says, how long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? I love verse 48. Maybe that's a verse that if you have your own Bible with you, it may be a verse you want to just mark. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? I will tell you who can save your soul from the power of Sheol. It's Christ and him alone. It is the embodiment of God's faithfulness. It's the embodiment of God's love in saving us from the grave, saving us from death, saving us from not just a temporary death, but an eternal death. It's Christ. And Ethan, even in his cries, remains faithful. Because he ends with an incredible truth and a doxology. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. That word amen is another way of saying truly, truly. When Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you in the New Testament, the Greek, you translate that in the original Greek and it's amen, amen. When we say amen and amen, we mean to say this is true. This is indeed the truth of our hearts. This is indeed the truth of our faith in God. And Ethan ends with that. God is faithful. God is true. God is faithful in his character. God is faithful in his covenant promises. God is faithful when he chastises us. God is faithful when we cry. He hears our cries and he will answer them. Ethan doesn't get an answer right away. But he remains faithful because he knows God remains faithful. And that's why he can go back to verse 1 and say, I will sing
of his love, of his steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Some of us are in the highs and some of us are in the lows. Some of us are feeling like, hey, I could sing and I could sing all day long. And some of us are saying, are on the other end of the spectrum going, how long, Lord? How long is, Lord, how much longer is this going to last? No matter which spectrum you're in, know that God is faithful. We've sang, great is thy faithfulness. And I hope we meant it. I hope we know God's steadfast love, to know God's mercy, to know God's faithfulness in Christ Jesus. Psalm 89 is not just a psalm for Evelyn. Someday, maybe Evelyn will hear this someday and maybe we'll go, wow, I never thought of it that way. It's not just for the Stahl family. It's not just for the family and friends who are here to witness the baptism. It's for each and every one of us. That no matter where we're high, or in the highs or lows, the valleys, the mountain peaks, God remains faithful. Let's not forget it. Let's not just minimize it. Let's know it. Let's believe it. And in response, let's worship Him. And let's trust that He remains truly faithful. Blessed be the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And amen. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that this psalm would not just simply be in one ear and out the other, but that it would truly be something that would change us. Lord, speak to us today. Maybe there's some here that are here somewhat begrudgingly. Maybe there are those here who are really excited to be here. There's some that are dealing with outside stresses and anxieties that have distracted us. There's others who we are here and we are ready to worship. But Lord, regardless of which way we are, the tides will turn, times will change, and we will experience the other end of the spectrum at some point. But Lord, through all that, may we never doubt in your faithfulness. For you have promised us. And you have fulfilled those promises before already once with Christ Jesus. And so we should never doubt those promises still. Lord, thank you for Psalm 89. Hear us, we pray, for it is in Jesus' name we ask these things. Let us say together, Amen.